Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Revelation 21, 5 to 7. Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem. The Foundation Stones, Chapter 52, Matthew, Given Our Reward. Scriptures. And as Jesus passed by from thence, he saw a man called Matthew, sitting at the place of toll. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Matthew 9 and verse 9. The voice of thy watchmen. They lift up the voice. Together do they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when Jehovah returneth to Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For Jehovah hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Jehovah hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, cleanse yourselves, ye that bear the vessels of Jehovah. For ye shall not go out in haste, neither shall ye go out by flight. For Jehovah will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal wisely. He shall be exalted and lifted up, and shall be very high, like as many were astonished at thee. His visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which has not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they understand. Isaiah 52, verses 8 to 15. And even now the axe lieth at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn up with unquenchable fire. Matthew chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. But as it is written, Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to 16. And scriptures. Two visions. First vision. I saw the Lord as a great and a high mountain, and the mountain was the Lord. I saw the Lord as a great and high mountain, and the mountain was the Lord. As a strong stalwart of the kingdom of God, the Lord was seen as a mountain, strong and high and mighty. Then by the Spirit of the Lord, not by any force of nature or of men, a stone was cut out of the side of this mountain, and it was hurled into the earth. As the stone struck the earth, I saw that the kingdoms of men failed in an instant, crushed and destroyed by the stone cut out of this mountain without hands. Every element of man's life in the earth, as relates to science, nature, and civilization, was destroyed by this stone that was hurled by the Spirit of the Lord into the earth. The stone did roll upon the earth, and it destroyed everything that man had built. The stone then stopped its motion when the destruction that came of it was completed, and the stone grew and swelled and filled the entire earth until the stone covered the earth. I then heard the Lord say, "You shall see this begin." End vision. Second vision. As I was in my house, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, and his hand rested heavy upon me. As I was carried, I saw a huge red dragon in the atmosphere, swallowing up the nations of the earth. But also I saw that this dragon had changes of color. There were waves of gray moving through the color of red, and I saw that this dragon was causing the sons and the daughters of God to have contentions between them over true and false doctrine, over the word of God. Power was given unto this dragon to cause a warring and a strife to arise in the company of those who would overcome. I feared for the loud noise which thundered from its voice and from the size of this dragon, which resisted the word of God in the lives of the overcomers. The angel then moved me past the dragon to an even higher place in the atmosphere. There I beheld a great storm coming from God, who did send this storm in waves and in periods of time to the earth. Storms of fire mixed with hail, winds, rains, and a great tempest of cloud and darkness, which no element on earth could endure. The clouds of this storm was one cloud that God had made, but spinning off of this cloud were storms and elements of wind and rain and hail, which would from time to time cover areas of the earth. It was the storm that covered the earth in gross darkness. Then even higher, the angel did carry me, and I beheld God upon the throne of heaven. He was drawing to himself the overcomers out of the earth, catching them up into the eternal glorified state. I saw that the overcomers were as points of light, bright with the glory of God, being the light that was within them. They were being drawn up together unto the throne. However, what I saw was how few in number they truly were. There were only a very small core group out of the storms of the earth that now assailed it, who overcame and who did rise to be caught up to the throne of God. End vision. End two visions. Matthew was formerly named Levi from his home in Nazareth. Whether he had the name bestowed upon him by the Jewish leadership or by Jesus is not known. However, historical documents have him preaching in ancient Parthia and Ethiopia, being later martyred by a halberd in the city of Nadaba, somewhere around 60 AD. Nabada, N-A-D-A-B-A-H, somewhere around 60 AD. I equate Matthew to the amethyst stone in the foundation layer of the New Jerusalem because he shows forth an example of life that cannot be duplicated by any imposter. He revealed the cleansing of sin by the atonement of Jesus Christ upon Calvary in his gospel, and then continued obedience to the gospel afterwards. This is according to the present historical accounts. Matthew preached the cross and the washing of regeneration because of the blood that Jesus spilt on our behalf. For in our day, this becomes a present testimony, a prophecy. For this hour that we see the washing of regeneration effecting a lively change in the lives of they which would overcome. Not only so, but we see that this portion of the foundation of the city of God is worked into us solely because we recognize the grace of God that has brought us to this point and can boast in nothing of ourselves. The overcomer in this hour stands out from all the rest of mankind, having the true light of the Lord within them, in that they do not allow themselves to be tainted by any of the traditions or religious efforts of men or of denominations. The Lord is forming us into the New Jerusalem, that the New Jerusalem is the body of the Lord, and this city, including its foundations, are necessary to our walk as day by day we work out our own salvation. True overcomers discard any doctrine that is not based on Scripture and that is not founded upon the person of Jesus Christ the Lord. If it is not giving glory to Jesus, they do not accept it as true doctrine. They know that the Lord alone is to be exalted in this day, and they will not do anything but worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness while they endure their daily temptations and trials. Not only so, but the overcomers reject any doctrine that gives a false glory to Jesus, one that tickles the ears and gives men an automatic avenue into the holy things of the Lord. They do not accept shortcuts. Overcomers know that the cross must be carried, whether the bearing of the cross is a long-term thing or a short-term thing to them, it still must be carried. False doctrines in our day give a sense of an automatic work being accomplished, and therefore no one is excluded from the Spirit of the Lord. These have forgotten that the Lord is holy, and that one cannot just approach the Lord as one would a next-door neighbor or a person on the street. It is true, we have access to the Lord because of the grace he manifested in our salvation. But this approach to the Lord comes after the heat of testing and trial has removed iniquity from your life. For you cannot come with iniquity upon your lips and deceit in your heart. The Lord is not to be taken so lightly, but he is to be feared, especially in this time of much delusion. The overcomer is separated more and more from all those around them, especially from those who also profess to know the Lord in truth. Even from these, it seems that the separations are happening as if it were a great cutting away of their lives from even being seen or known in the world. Instead of coming together into unity to worship the Lord with one heart and mind, the overcomer finds themselves separated more and more, alone more and more, cut off more and more. They do not rejoice in meetings or gatherings, nor do they wish to hear any new word from any preacher or prophet if that word given does not spark worship unto the Lord. They have fixed their gaze solely upon Jesus, and nothing else will do for them. These stand alone, lost, as it were, to the world, gone from the assemblies of men and from the institutions men make to arrange their lives around the grace of God. The overcomer is not found in this hour out there, exposed for others to see. They are hidden, alone, cut off, separate. They may be meeting in little groups or of a very few people, but they are not taking part in any other thing. They know that the will of God will cost them everything, and they are presently paying that very price to be found perfect in His will. The true overcomer has entered into a realm of silent suffering in fellowship with Jesus, who did the very same. They commune with Him in the midst of this as He perfects in them His will. No one else on earth can even perceive this work that is being done in the lives of the overcomer, who looks like an ordinary person in the world, seen day by day, but not known for their true identity in the kingdom of God. The overcomer does not get their heart's desire for things or for what they want to have in this world when it comes to possessions. They instead have little when it comes to the wealth of this world. It is to them that I write. The reason the Lord relates Matthew to the cut-off overcomer is because it is the overcomer which will receive the reward of the inheritance in God, who will withhold nothing. Colossians 3, verses 23 and 25 says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons." Matthew represented one who was thus separated, as was the amethyst stone from the false ephod. So was the life of this man who did overcome, and who will indeed be a part of this great thing the Lord is about to do in the earth. Hear this well, dear reader. This is not just another writing, but it is a test for you, a test to test your own heart, to see if you are indeed in the will of the Lord. For if you are keeping to yourselves teachers who are telling you doctrines not founded in Scripture, nor by the Spirit of holiness, then you are not going to overcome in the end, but will be found wanting. If the doctrine you hold to gives an automatic blessing, then you have not heard right. Your life is bound in deception, and your attitude is one of a false joy and a false hope. True overcomers are not going to listen to doctrines that give men place without having the holiness of the Lord worked into them. They know that if the doctrine does not glorify the Lord in truth, it won't also at the same time work in them the cross. Again, they know that if the doctrine, teaching, doctrine, does not glorify the Lord in truth, it won't also at the same time in them work in them the cross. The overcomer does not shirk the cross. The overcomer does not shirk the cross. Doctrines that tickle the ears has the cross removed from you. When the Spirit of the Lord is quenched, it is quenched by the removal of your personal cross. Quench not the Spirit. When the Spirit of the Lord is quenched, it is quenched by the removal of your personal cross. Overcomers know the power of the cross to save, and to them it is the only standard they have when weighing new doctrine as to its impetus in their lives to make them more of an overcomer than they were before. The world's top physicist has made a statement that man needs to find another planet in the solar system which can support life. That migration from this planet is the only way man can survive. Now, science has found a planet several trillion miles from the Earth that has a 13-day year and can support life. Man, in his vanity, will point to that as the hope for man being saved in this hour. Even if man did migrate to this new planet, they would do so with the same level of personal iniquity as they have now. Man is also doing what ear-tickling Christians are doing. Again, man is also doing what ear-tickling Christians are doing. They are trying to preserve life. They are trying to live instead of laying down their lives for each other. They are attempting to preserve their own life, to extend their days, to pile up wealth against the day of famine. Opposite to the example of Jesus, modern Christians, even those who deem themselves to be part of this latter motion of God's Spirit, are saying themselves rather than saving themselves rather than laying down their lives completely for the sake of the love of God. Saving themselves rather than laying down their lives completely for the sake of the love of God. New Age spirits are having a heyday with the ear-tickling Christians in this very hour. The Lord is building the true overcomer into rank in the army of the Lord. That is indeed the true reward, the true inheritance. Here is a description of what is going to take place. Here's the description of what is going to take place. This is prophetic. The Lord will appear in full glory and in the brilliance of his glorified body to these who have overcome. Suddenly, this shall be, and these will be glorified with Jesus, raised from the dead. No more any sinful nature or duality shall be in them, but as complete new created people, these few will begin their march. Their march will be more fearsome than anything seen before. There has never been, nor will there ever be seen in the world of men, the army which will be in that day. These will march forward, and they will destroy everything. They will destroy everything. They will destroy everything that man has built. Everything. Not one thing of the initial building of men will survive the march of this army. And any army of men, any force of nature, any bomb or bullet or flamethrower or munitions of men will affect them in any way. No shot fired at them from a gun will cause them to have any effect, for these will be in bodies which cannot die. The march of these who are glorified with Jesus will end completely what man has built. And this is not just wishful thinking. This is part of God's overall purpose. Jesus, who left this world, is coming back, and he is coming back as an uttered voice before his camp, and his camp is very great. Man has built again this Tower of Babel. It is a tower that has reached once again the sky, making a name for themselves. We call it individual rights. We call it individual rights. Footnote from me interjected here. I believe one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse is individual rights. Individual rights. And footnote. This tower, along with all the modern world and elements of technology and so on, will be destroyed. The Lord intends to bring to the earth a pure language without man's tower. The Tower of Babel is built in three ways. Number one, it is built by men making a name for themselves because of worldly wisdom. Number two, it is built by men making a name for themselves because of tickling ears. And three, the Tower of Babel is built by men who make a name for themselves by the invention of new doctrines which bypasses the cross. Add to this mix of the building of Babel the fact that iniquity and pride are still the most prominent thing in the earth, and you have the soil needed for the army of the Lord to march upon. I prophesy to you, I prophesy, prophecy, I prophesy to you that all of this you see in this world will be completely destroyed. Nothing shall remain of man's ways. Hear this. When this company comes forth, who have had the amethyst of the example of Matthew worked into them, men will lose their own personal free will. The free will of man will be gone when the Lord comes to glorify his army. Consider that a warning. Vision. I saw then another mountain, one high and lifted up, created not by the rocks and stones and foundations of the structure of the earth, but a mountain created by men for men and for the cause of men. This mountain was the accomplishments of men in every area, in governments, in economies, in social structures, and the mores of society. I also then saw the true overcomers, hidden away by the hand of the Lord. The Lord began to arise in them and also before them, appearing as the risen Lord to them, even though they were but a few. I saw then that those who formed the company of Moses withheld from the North American continent the rain. The Lord sent to the continent of North America a great and a fearsome famine, a famine of bread and food. The staff of bread was broken off of the land during this time. Also at the same time, the level of delusion for believing a lie increased in the world of men, and so did the confusion of tongues, one from another. The attempts at world peace were abated, as man did not find an answer to the confusion of tongues that came even stronger between them. This indeed lent itself to extend to the outer reaches of men's dominions, and the tribulation of that time, which is yet to come, was such as has never been seen or known before. End vision. To be continued, Kenneth B. Visscher. This ends the series on the Foundation Stones.